no greater love. When you just think about all that he went through, even if you just narrow it down to that Passion Week, when you think about all that he suffered, the rejection, but far more than just rejection. He was beaten. He was made to carry, he carried that cross. He could have called in legions of angels, but he didn't. He went through the pain because somehow the suffering and the punishment was required for us. He wasn't dying because of his sins. He wasn't being punished because of the wrong he had done. It was all about me. It's all about me. I'd like you to turn your attention just a few moments, if you would, to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. The Gospel according to St. John, beginning with verse 19 of that 20th chapter. And this scripture follows where Mary Magdalene had just spoken with the Lord, but it says here, then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Listen now, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see the hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then he saith to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And he not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. I want to speak with you a little while this morning. Our Savior lives. There is no doubt about it. Our Savior lives. There is no doubt about it. You know, as we come into this week, our minds can't help but be focused on all that Jesus went through. We can't help but do that, and we should. We should recognize how much pain he suffered for us. He had done nothing wrong, nothing deserving of the punishment that he took. There was nothing that he had done wrong, but he had to. Because of the way that the plan was, the plan of salvation included my sins being paid for. The things that I had done and the things that you have done that are against what God would have us to do, those things that are sins had to be paid for. There had to be justification. There's no way that God could do anything he wants. God would not just say, well, it's all the sins are just forgiven. But somehow all those sins had to be paid for. There had to be punishment for all the sins that we had. Somehow it seemed so terrible that those who stood around him, those out there, his disciples, they were far off because somehow they were afraid to get too close. But they watched him as he suffered on that cross. They saw all the things that he went through. Somehow they had come to know him and to really love him. And here was someone they cared so much about. Somebody who had been there for them in all their situations. They had watched him as he performed tremendous miracles. There were those in the crowd who had gone through things. And Jesus had brought them out. But they could only watch him. And there was nothing they could do. They couldn't bring him down. They couldn't take him down from the cross. No, they watched and they were suffering inside just because they were seeing this man of God. This one who they loved so much, this one who they recognized as the Son of the living God, this one who had taught and brought them through situation after situation. Well, they just had to watch. That's all that they could do as he died on the cross. And then it seems that as the days went on, they sort of went away from the cross area and found themselves together. Some just tried to comfort one another, getting together in groups. Some just walked away, wanted to be all by themselves. Some took walks and talks with others, and some just wanted to dump out and cry to the Lord. They, all of them were so very, very down. And then on this Resurrection Sunday, it seems that things were the same with most of those folks. They were still doubting, and they were still thinking that Son of the living God, the one who we trusted would be the one who would change things, the one who was going to be able to save us from our sins. He did now. We thought he was going to do so much, but somehow it seems like he's gone now. Saturday had to be terrible. They were devastated by what they had witnessed. They were devastated by the fact that they thought this was the one who was going to save them, but somehow he wasn't able to save himself, they felt. Early in the morning, Mary Magdalene was among the first to go to the tomb, and she got there, and she was sad because she had wished that somehow, even if she had to watch him die, that she would have been able to take the embalming and all the materials and prepare him for the burial. But there wasn't time. They wouldn't allow that. So she couldn't do it on that night. So early in the morning, as soon as she could, she went out to the grave looking for him in order to prepare his body. But she found he wasn't there. Oh, but the good news is, she found out that he had risen again. Took a little bit for her to realize what was going on, but then he spoke to her. And when he did, she knew who he was. She thought at first he was a gardener. Said, "Where have you laid him? Tell me where he is and I'll go get him." But Jesus spoke to her, and when he did, she knew who he was. Somehow that's so good. That, you know, it's so good to know my Savior lives. I'm sure that's what she was thinking right then. My friend, the one who loved me so much, the one who showed me so much compassion, the one who spoke to me and touched me and helped me through situation after situation. Mary said, I'm just glad that I know. I'm sure she was so excited about it. She wanted everybody to know that her friend, my friend, your friend, the one who had suffered and died on the cross, was alive. She went to tell folks, no, nobody wanted to believe this yet. But she told anyway. You know, as we go further, we find that there were two on the road to Emmaus. And certainly they were talking about how bad things were. It showed in them. You know, sometimes you can look at somebody's face, even if they're not saying anything, you can see how sad they are. And somehow when the words come out, you can hear in their voice, this is not good. Things are bad. And these two were talking together, and Jesus came up and walked close to them as they walked. And somehow as they walked, he asked them, "Why are you so sad? What kind of conversation is this that you're having?" They said, "You must not be from around here. Because if you were from around here, you would know what just happened. And you'd be sad as well." And they went on to tell him how Jesus had died and how they thought that he was going to be the one to save the Jews. They thought that. But somehow, as they continued to walk, Jesus began to tell them something that they needed to know, something that we need to know. All that happened, all those things he went through were prophesied. Those things that he went through, there were no surprises for him. There should be no surprises for anyone who realizes that the prophecies, the word of God, they're going to be fulfilled. And Jesus knew that he was the fulfillment of those prophecies. He had to suffer and die. Isaiah said it was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. It was in the word. Jesus knew that he was going to go through all of that thing. No surprises. And those who knew him, somehow they should have realized if he were really the Son of God that he said he was, if he was really the Messiah who he said he was going to go through all of that. So as they walked, he talked to them about it. But somehow they still didn't know until somehow they went in and he was pretending that he was going to just go a little further. But they asked him, come on, it's late now. It's late in the evening. Why don't you come on and relax and have dinner with us? And as they sat down and broke bread together, somehow the way that he broke the bread, it reminded them of how he had broken the bread at the supper. They knew this was Jesus. And right away they recognized, but he went away. He went out of their sight. But that's okay. They knew that they had seen the Lord. They could rejoice now. All that sadness that was so much inside of them, all they were filled up in, to the point where they just, every time they opened their mouth, seemed like they wanted to cry. But now there was joy. We have seen the Lord. We doubted that what had happened was according to God's will, but somehow we know that he's alive right now. They went on back to tell the other disciples, but somehow they didn't quite believe it either. But then, you know, Jesus came through the door with the door being shut, and I can sort of imagine this. The disciples, after what had happened to Jesus, sort of felt that they needed to find some place where they could sort of hide. And I believe not only were they in a place where people wouldn't know where they were, but the door was even locked. Mm-hmm. But somehow as they stood there around talking to one another about how bad things were, Jesus came through that door, that locked door, and stood in the midst of them. He showed them his hands with the nail prints and the place in the side where the sword had gone in. Somehow he showed them all of that. You know, as we stay there, we think, well, wouldn't they have known him without that? Jesus knew that all who were there still had some doubt. There was one who was not there. And somehow the one who was not there, Thomas, who wasn't there, was told by the other disciples how they had seen the Lord and how somehow they felt everything was all right now. Thomas wasn't with them, but Thomas said, I don't believe. I won't believe until I've seen the nail prints in his hands. I got to see the nail prints. But I just want to say to you right now, I have not seen the nail prints. You have not seen the nail prints, but I know that he's alive. I know that he's alive because somehow the things that he does and continues to do in my life, I know that a living Jesus is helping me through. I know that the one who can make a difference is making differences in my life. I talk to him often. I wouldn't talk to him if he weren't alive. And I know that he's listening. And I know that he changes things in my life. I did not see, and I don't need to see the nail prints. Because I can tell you right now, without a doubt, Jesus, the Son of the Living God, is alive right now. I believe that if we were to walk around this church, we could find a whole lot of folks who just like me would be able to testify that he's touched their lives when they were in situations and they didn't know how they were going to get through, didn't know how they were going to get out. But they called on him. I don't believe you call on a dead Jesus. They called on him. And when they called on him, he answered and he changed things. He's able to touch our lives, change our lives. That's because he is alive. No doubt about it. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me believe that Jesus is dead. I know that he died on the cross. I know that he was out there and he suffered all those hours. I know that somehow the blood ran down and somehow it seemed that he was absolutely dead. And when they weren't sure, they put a sword in his side. But I know that he was dead. No doubt about it. The fact is that he was dead. But you know what? The fact is, he's alive right now, and he's touching our lives. You know, it may be strange somehow when we think about it. Jesus, when he was finished doing all those things, when he was out on the cross, he said, "It's finished." That meant his part in salvation had been done. Nobody could do what he did. Nobody could handle that like he did. Nobody could do what Jesus did on the cross. But when he got up on Sunday morning, You would think, well, now he can go on home. He's done what he had to do, but he didn't go home yet. No, he didn't go home because he knew there were going to be some doubters. He knew he had to go and show some folks the nail prints in his hand. He knew he had to go tell some people that I'm still the Lord and I'm alive forevermore. He knew he had to do that. 40 days he spent just teaching and talking about what he was to the world and what he had done for all of us. Somehow, I guess, we need to realize that each one of us may feel like we'd be more sure if we saw some nail prints. But I'll tell you this, I don't have to see them, because I've seen what he's done in your life, Deacon Cruz. And I've seen what he's done for you, Brother Joe. And Sister Almeida, I know that you could stand up and tell the world that he's alive because of the way he's embraced you and you've been there with him through every situation. And I know that calling on him, somehow when we call on him, we know that he not only hears, but he's able to change our situation. I'm serving a Lord that is alive, a Lord that died in much pain, a Lord who went through so much for me. But I'm just glad to tell you right now, without a doubt, no nail prints. I haven't seen the nail prints. The place in his side, I have not seen that. But I know without a doubt, Jesus, the Son of the living God, is alive right now. I can talk to him at midnight. I can call on him early in the morning. You know, there's some folks you don't want to call too early in the morning. I can call on Jesus early in the morning. You know, sometimes you might look at your watch and say, it's too late now. Too late for me to call him, Reverend Jasper. But midnight, 1, 2 in the morning. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, I won't tell you the whole conversation, but Jesus and I had a conversation this morning about 3 o'clock. And I know he was listening. As a matter of fact, he had some things he wanted me to know. I'm just so glad that I serve a living Jesus. I'm just so glad he knows who I am. I'm just so glad that I can testify. This is a testimony that I'm going to talk about me. I can testify that he's alive in my life. I can testify that he's brought me through some things. I can testify that nobody but alive Jesus will be able to embrace me during my situations and make me have joy even when I'm going through difficult times. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. No doubt about it. He's alive. Haven't seen the nail prints, but he's alive. Haven't seen the place where he was wounded in the side. But my God, I can testify that he's alive. Somebody else here can say, as a matter of fact, I challenge you to stay in your seat if you don't think he's alive. If you think he's alive, I think you ought to stand up and praise the living Jesus. You ought to stand up, maybe wave your hands in your air. Say, I can tell you, I can tell you, I want you to know he's alive right now. He's alive in my life. He's alive in my situation. He's alive when I need him. He's alive bringing me through things I don't even see. He's alive. He's alive. Great God from Zion. Jesus. He died. He suffered and died. Carried a cross, suffered and died. He was beaten. He carried a cross, suffered and died. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He carried that rugged cross down the cobblestones of Jerusalem. They nailed him to the cross and he died. Ah, but he's alive. He's alive. Jesus, the Son of the living God. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the Paschal Lamb of God. Jesus, who saved me, is alive. Let us talk to God. Oh, our Father and our loving God, we realize that Jesus had to stay around a little while, even after he arose from the dead, because he had to let folks know that he is who he said he is. He had to let folks know that what he went through was according to the will of God, according to the scriptures and the prophecies. He had to let everybody know that he was the son who was going to save us. And all we had to do was just continue to trust in him, even through our most difficult times. Going through something, we know we can call on him. We know that he'll be there for us. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm just glad, Father, we have a living, loving Savior. Thank you for his love. Thank you for his willingness to suffer and die for me. Thank you for the salvation that was purchased with his blood. Oh, in the precious name of Jesus, we pray on this Resurrection Sunday. As we reflect back on all that he has done in our lives, as we reflect back on how he's brought us through, as we reflect back on who he is to us and who we are to him, we're special, so special that he paid the price for us. In his precious name we pray. Great God from Zion, in his powerful, loving name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank God for Zion. He's alive. Yes, he is. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. My Savior lives. I don't know, on this Resurrection Sunday, you may have come because somebody said you ought to come on Easter. Or you may be here because somehow you felt the Spirit telling you that this is a day you need to be out serving the Lord in church. I don't know why you came, but I do know this. I know that Jesus loves you, and Jesus is glad that you're here in the congregation with an opportunity to say to the world, I've decided to make Jesus Christ my choice. I know that he lives and he's my choice. I know he's already been bringing me through and he's my choice. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you may find yourself right now spiritually. But Jesus has his arms wide open waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to step into the aisle and come forward and tell the world, I'm on the Lord's side. I want to live according to his will. I want to walk in such a way that people can see him in me. Is there somebody who wants to come? Somebody who wants to say yes to the Lord? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Yes. Because I know that he holds the future. And my life is worth the living. Just because my Lord.